Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, you will know on this programme and many other programmes, we spent a lot of time talking about making people happier in the workplace and making them more productive, of course, which employers like to see. But generally, we don't talk about the workplace itself, the entity itself. And my next guest believes a happy and safe workplace is crucial for recruiting and nourishing and retaining employees. And also, yes, it does improve and boost your bottom line as well. And that guest is psychologist Dr. Audrey Tan, who joins me now. Audrey, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you. Now, happy workplace. This is about, I suppose we've heard about buildings, sick building syndrome and things like that. But workplaces, what are the factors that make them happy? What are the kind of things we'd be talking about?
Well, the workplace is often thought of as an individual environment. So any interventions, and I know this as a business psychologist, we go in and we help people. But actually, the environment can make a massive difference to how people feel. So let's just take it back to when we went to school. School teachers, parents, everyone knows that children learn and perform best when they can practice, make mistakes, go wrong, they're supported. Any bullying is dealt with, all of those sorts of things. And yet we go to work and suddenly it's a bit like, well, you're on your own now, off you go. And what we really need to do is recognize that the environment we've created can be just as important to building success as individual intervention.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, is the physical environment you're talking about, or is it the people, or is it just the ambience, which is a more harder to define thing?
It's kind of a bit of both. I'm going to give you a real life situation. So I've been talking a lot to Dr. Katharina Schneider of the Center for Appearance Research, and about 66% of the workforce are either overweight or obese. And so we're going into a workforce where we're feeling a little bit uncomfortable anyway. So a lot of people will understand not bullying people about weight, not making fun of people. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. But let's think about how the environment affects them. So I use something called the SPACE framework. S stands for social. So, you know, let's not bully people. That's great. We get it. But P stands for physical. When that person gets into the workplace, can they actually move around the chairs comfortably? Can they actually maneuver themselves within an open plan environment? Do they actually know that they'll be supported in terms of the furniture? And I know that sounds silly, but if we don't see it because it's not in our landscape, we're not going to understand it. But just take a moment to look at something from someone else's perspective. So that's the physical side. The A of space stands for authority. What research has shown is that the majority of people assume, oh, someone's overweight, that means they're lazy and they're undermotivated. That is absolutely not true. Yes, physically, there may be one or two things that they can't do quite so well, but this means there's implications for HR. If someone who is off sick is also overweight, does HR actually write down what is the issue, like migraines or something unrelated to weight? Because otherwise, it's very easy to start going, oh, it's only because of their weight, which is not true. So that's social, physical, authority. C stands for customer and ritual. Customer and ritual might be, do you do donuts every Friday? How helpful is that, really? How does that make people feel when they say no? And then E is environment and how you actually experience it. So an example there would be, if you need PPE, can you guarantee that it's going to fit you? And I use that example because I saw it was America's Next Top Model. They were really inviting people living in larger bodies to join in. And then they took them to a fashion shoot and nothing fitted. And we've got to put ourselves in the perspective of somebody who has battled with this experience that affects their self-esteem all their life. And that experience they have there can actually do so much to damage how they feel, not just about their confidence, but how they feel about you as well. So my space framework and looking at all aspects of the environment, it's just tiny little tweaks leaders can do.
Right. Can I put a contention back to you, right? Like a tennis match here, we're going to knock the ball back over the net. One of the things I'd like to ask is the external environment. And what I mean by that, is if the organization is doing well, it's profitable or it's getting its sales or it's very highly regarded or prestigious in the outside world and so on. Is that not the main part of all of this? In other words, if your organization is perceived or in reality doing well, that workplace is going to be more confident. If your organization is not doing well, it's going to be less so. In other words, is it not the external world that we should be talking about here?
It depends on the cost of that. So I do an exercise with university students, and I ask them to tell me about the values of their university, and they can tell me what the mission statement is. And then I ask them to tell me, well, what does it feel like being in the internal environment? And they will often tell me something completely different. Often people say it's down to cost. They feel it's down to cost. So even if externally you're presenting beautifully, it's if it's performative, then it's not going to help people internally who are sitting there going, yeah, but you don't know the real story. And that can actually be more damaging. So success is great if the success is felt as we're supported, we're encouraged, we're all in this together. That success is all of our success, not just one person taking the credit for it.
Now, do you also think a lot of tech companies in particular have attracted and enticed in employees with all sorts of things? You get beer, you get snooker tables, you get bean bags, you get whatever, right? You get lots of stuff. The gym is on site. You can go out to this lovely flowered garden on the rooftop, etc. Some people see that as they're just trying to get you to spend more time in the office. And there's a cynical element to that. So can we overdo the whole environment and say, hang on, you're actually capturing and imprisoning me here a little bit?
Absolutely. And I've actually had someone say that to me. They're doing yoga in the lunch hour because they want to keep us on site for longer. But yes and no. If you are doing it and you know it is because you want people to spend time in the office, because you are transparent with your needs and you're transparent with the role that person is expected to fulfill, then actually that's fine because it's informed consent. I know that if I've signed up there, I'm expected to signed my life away for 3 months, but I've got a gym, I've got a dry cleaner, I can sleep there if I need to. But it is with informed consent. If someone is doing it and the implied feeling is they're trying to keep us here for longer, which is what I have had people say to me, because no one's been open and honest about it, then it's a very different feeling. The other thing we've got to point out is perks also need to be fit for purpose. So again, I've heard about the restaurant card perks where you can get money off if you go to a restaurant, which is fine, except it runs Monday to Thursday only. And there's an expectation in this particular workplace of working late Monday to Friday. So when it comes to using the restaurant card, you can't use it.
So what you're saying is go into all these things with your eyes open. That's the ultimate summation of what you're saying at the end there. Listen, we're going to have to leave there. Audrey Tang is a chartered psychologist talking there about better and more confident workplaces.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.